The opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
All right. Good morning, Sovereign Minds. This is not Mark Kent. This is Chris Kellstrom. Mark's away today. Fortunately, Red Smith is in the studio, so I'll have somebody to keep the show afloat. Linda Kent is not here also, so between Red and I, hopefully we can do some of the heavy lifting, but we'll see what we can do. Good morning, Red.
I think we'll be all right. We got plenty to talk about.
Oh, boy, do we ever. What a busy week this has been. Holy cow. I had to work all week long, but it was like my phone was just going crazy, and every time I'd check it, something else happened, something else good happened, it seemed to me. So,
yeah, it is. It's like the dam's starting to break. You know, you're watching the first couple holes in the levee and the first couple streams, but everybody downstream's watching going, uh-oh.
Yeah, I think the FBI is just about out of fingers holding there. Plugging up those holes in that dike, and it's about to go.
Rod Rosenstein's down to his last appendage.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, we had tons of big stuff happen this week. You know, the Janus decision in the Supreme Court was absolutely huge.
Yep.
That just gutted the funding for the Democratic Party, so to speak. So they're scrambling. They didn't even have time to really worry about that because right after Janus' decision came down, one of the Supreme Court justices decided that he's going to retire, and you watch heads explode everywhere, and exploding.
It was fun. I was actually sitting watching the news this morning, and I was just laughing at the top of my lungs, and my wife comes out and goes, what are you watching, the news? And I said, yeah, and she goes, and you're laughing? You're in a good mood? And I said, yeah, I'm watching these clips of these liberal commentators and fake media and stuff. It's the end of this and the end of this. And you can see them almost clenching the desk and just in panic mode. And it's like, good Lord, people.
Yeah, this week we had all these 5-4 decisions come down. And like we said, before their heads could explode over the 5-4 decisions, they realized that the one guy that they thought they could get on their side once in a while that kind of played the middle for the most part is now leaving. So get ready for 5-4. It's going to be a pretty much thing.
And the other thing is, too, is how much longer do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg has in her?
I actually think she might have died about 3 years ago. I'm not really
She's
sure.
Just a meat puppet.
There was a meme on Facebook that said, weekend at Ginsburg's. Chuck and Nancy holding her up, and she slumped over.
It might be true. But, I mean, if she goes, too, we're looking at a 6-3 hardcore conservative Supreme Court.
And quite frankly, some of the comments she made before the election, I think she should be recusing herself anyways.
She should. I mean, she should have recused herself. Some of the things that woman has said, I mean, you look at the Roe versus Wade decision. She was interviewed 2-3 years ago, and she goes, well, you have to understand the light that the Roe v. Wade decision was made in. At the time, we understood that there were certain segments of our population that we didn't want breeding. She said that. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but that is almost a direct quote of what she said. I mean,
Margaret Sanger would be proud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure she's in her private cell in hell just cheering away.
Yeah, so we got Janus' decision is going to, like I say, take away a lot of the funding from the Democratic Party. Now, we just looked this up beforehand. One of the few things Jeff Sessions had done is some of the fines and these unjust fines that were levied against companies and given to third parties from these fines, like when the
non-governmental organizations.
Exactly. So
unquote.
When the oil rig blew up in the Gulf of Mexico and they fined them whatever it was, $1 billion, that money didn't go into the general fund or pay down the debt or go back to the United States.
Or the people that were actually affected, like the fishermen.
No.
Or, you know, the
it
people
went right to environmental groups who just laundered the money right back to the Democratic Party. And the same thing with PG&E and the pipeline and on and on and on. They just funnel the money right back to the Democratic
Party.
Like
Acorn.
Yeah.
You know, and the TARP funds and all of that nonsense that, you know, they pulled off where okay, we're going to pull all of this out of the government coffers and we're going to put it over here, and you're going to turn it right back around into political contributions.
Yeah, the party couldn't go to Exxon and say, hey, we'd like a $1 billion donation. Would you mind doing that? And they'd say, well, you know, you're kind of against this. We're not really going
to. Exxon would have told them to pound sand.
No, thank you. And so, okay, what we'll do is we'll just fine your company, and then those fines we'll just send to our guys, and our guys will send them back to us. So how about that? That's fair.
I'm really interested to see which unions, public employee unions, and for those of you that aren't aware, familiar with what the Janus decision was, it came down from the Supreme Court that said to be a public employee, you know, a policeman, a fireman, a city worker, anything, you cannot be compelled to be a member of the union or to pay just compensation dues to the union. It basically has broken the grip of the public employee unions to say, hey, if you want to be part of a government employee and you want to share in all of these benefits and all of these pay raises and all of this self-exploitation that goes on, but you're going to pay your pound of flesh to the union, well, that's going to be removed. And I'm real curious to see which union starts to shake out first and see who starts to bail the sinking ship. My bet's on the teachers' union. But
yeah, we should probably start a pool, some sort of a pool, you know, kind of have
who
a
goes first?
Is it the police? Is it the firemen? Is it the teachers? Is it, you know, the park workers? Who's going to go first? So, yeah.
Well, you can even bring that home here to Redding, California. Remember when Chief Paletti said that he wanted, the civil officers.
Oh, yeah, the volunteers.
Not the CSOs to take reports and stuff like that. And he had them lined out at this much money where they could afford it. And the police union shot it down and said, nope, you're not going to hire anybody for less than $100,000 a year. Guess what? You don't have the authority to do that because they don't have to join your union. They can hire on at whatever salary they want now.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, so Janus decision is huge. What were some of the other Supreme Court decisions were pretty good out there, too. I remember watching them, and I'm thinking, if Jefferson gets to the Supreme Court, I'm thinking 5-4 is the way it's going to go.
Well, it might be 6-3. It's just, you know, there's no telling. And there's so many things that are in flux, and there's so many things that are going to be answered when the November primary sorts out. You know, is there going to be the typical midseason backlash where there's a turnover of parties in Congress as is usual, or do the American people stay the course and double down on what's going on?
I think we just saw some of that backsplash there, but I don't think it was the blue wave they were talking about. I think it happened in New York, and it was against the blue wave.
Well, that's something that's really interesting, too. You have that young lady out there in New York that just unseated the number 4 Democrat. So you have a very young, 28 years old, Latina socialist that just unseated an old, rich, white guy from the Democratic Party. Now, how many seats do you think the traditional Democratic Party are going to lose to these young socialists that they've been hand-feeding before all of a sudden there's some radical change in policy out of the Democratic Party? Because don't forget, these people were ruthless.
An amazing thing, she did it with 10% of the money that he spent, too. New York Times didn't do a single news article on this race right in their own backyard. Mm-hmm. They thought it was a sure thing and a done deal. 10% of the money spent, and she won. And, this is one of their top guys. So.
And I'm no fan of socialists or socialism, but congratulations to whipping that Prius.
Well, I'll say one thing about her. At least she told the truth. You know, I mean, we probably disagree on a whole bunch of things, but be truthful. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be sitting there saying, oh, no, we're for the American people. We're for the working class. We're for the working guy. You know, we want your rights, and we're not against the Second Amendment, yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, meantime, they're left-wing communists. Well, she comes out and says, I'm a left-wing communist, and they go, okay, we'll hire you. All right, well, hey, good for you. At least you're honest. You know, I'll give her that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's a big wake-up call to the Democratic Party. But with that said, we probably better sneak off to our first break here.
Man, is it already that time?
It goes fast once you get going. But if you guys have any questions or comments, give us a call at 530-605-4567.
rain across the waves, you can't hear us now. There's no fair trials, no train, no liberties, no tea.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
Your foolish tax, read the ads, and they just won't do. We want to make it clear we believe this much is true. All men were created with certain unalienable rights among these life, liberty, and the pursuit.
All right, we are back. So, hey, Red, I forgot to tell you out. I guess I can do it live on air here now, but I forgot to tell you out in the room there. I was hoping to have a guest caller in today. But
excellent.
Yeah, well, it hasn't worked out. So, Eamon Bundy posted something yesterday on Facebook that he was looking for some media to get some information out. Prosecutorial misconduct, if you can imagine.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. No. So anyways, I reached out to him, and then later on I saw Lydia also reached out to him, and then, and then I sent him an email, and I didn't hear from him, and then I finally posted
they're
on his Facebook.
Hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, and then he finally did respond back, and he said he's going to go through them. So anyways, apparently he's not going to call in today, but that would have been quite a guest host or guest caller to have. So
absolutely. And so many things that are still up in the air over that. And it's this whole attitude that the government has been taking. They've got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
And now they're like, well, our hand's not in the cookie jar now. Let's just forget about the cookie jar. And it's kind of this attitude over the Clinton emails, the Russian collusion story, what went on with the Bundys, where's the information? Where is there any information about the investigation of the FBI members that murdered Lavoie Finicum and have been indicted and are you can't get information. I've called. I've asked. They will not comment on it.
Yeah, and when you put an American in a jail cell on trumped up charges, and sometimes no charges, and then you decide that you want to get the bullet out of his body, and he doesn't want to give you the consent to do that. And you basically drag him out of his cell and take the bullet out of his body. And I mean, and we're like, oh, okay, well, the Bundys are free now. Well, I'm sorry. Some pretty horrible things happened to them while they were in there. When are we going to address that issue?
Yeah, and Why the concern over this bullet? Is there an issue with the ballistics on it?
Yeah, well,
what gun it came out of?
Yeah, I think that they, exactly, wanted to see if it was one of the FBI bullets, but I don't think it was an FBI bullet, personally. I think the FBI bullet was in the top of that door frame to get LaBoy out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an HRT team said that, well, they didn't claim that they shot because they missed. Well, I got news for you. A hostage rescue team or the FBI does not miss. They never miss.
Yeah.
So the first shot was in the door frame. It got LaVoy out of the truck like they knew it would. And the next shot, I believe, probably buzzed past a trooper's head that was standing there with his finger on the trigger, pointing at LaVoy, who, by the way, remember, was a right-wing extremist anti-government armed terrorist. So these troopers were pretty scared. So all of a sudden, if you got your finger on a trigger and you're drawn down on somebody that you think is a armed right-wing anti-government extreme terrorist, and a bullet whizzes past your head, you're going to have some pressure on that.
Well, and if anybody reads the investigation that was done by the Deschutes County Sheriff and their people, and an excellent job that was actually done by them, and the depositions and stuff, you can read the complete disconnect between the federal agents and the local police on the ground. Those local Oregon cops were mushrooms in that situation.
Yeah.
They were told nothing.
No, and what they were told was all lies. They were told these are anti-government guys, they're willing to die, they're all armed, they want a gun battle, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Furthest thing from the truth.
Absolutely. But it's just another example of these atrocities against the American people that happened during the last administrations, that the things that are coming to light now, and the attitude is, you know, oh, we're just going to go deaf mute.
Yeah, you know, and where are the protests here? You guys are down here, you know, protesting on the border. Antifa's up in Portland, Oregon yesterday. You're Antifa, you're anti-fascist. Would a fascist be somebody that brings charges against somebody, tries to take their land away, shoots them dead in the snow with their arms out to their sides? Is that not fascism? And why aren't you protesting there?
Well, they don't even know what they're protesting on the border. Is I have gone back and forth with so many people about what's going on the border, and they're clueless to the real nature of what's going on. You start to explain to these people, like 95-98% of these children that are being kidnapped. You know, if you talk to them, you would think Donald Trump was riding around like Mad Max south of the border, just raping and pillaging villages and stealing children and throwing them in a dungeon. You know, this is the attitude and the thought process that they have, and you start to explain some things to them, and it's eye-opening. Oh, what do you mean they're not coming in with their parents? Who are they coming in with? Oh, gang recruiters, sex traffickers, they're using these kids as drug mules, you know, all of these different things. They're sending, you know, 7-8-year-old girls north with the border, you know, with date rape pills or morning after pills and stuff like that, because they're going to be raped repeatedly on the way. But guess what? Mom and dad and whatever situation they're in back at home are getting paid to send these kids.
And there's a couple of videos out there where the kids have been reunited with their, you know, air quote, parents. And the kids are looking at these people like they have no idea who they are.
They don't.
Yeah, exactly. But all of a sudden, I'm a parent. No, you're a coyote.
And
you just got your victim now. You're in front of everybody. You're taking this victim, you know, and claiming it's your kid. And, you know, where are they? Where are those 1,500 kids that went missing? Have we found them yet?
Yeah. No. And, you know, and once you start to bring the realities of the situation home to some of these people, you get two reactions. You get people that start asking questions like, well, wait a minute. And then you get the people that just go into implosion mode. They stick their fingers in the air and go, la, 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 la.
Right.
You're a racist.
Or you tell them there's 1,500 kids missing, and then that damn Donald Trump, he's, you know, eating babies again and burying the carcasses. No, this happened under Obama. Oh, well, I'm sure we can explain that.
I have had people absolutely tell me it's not a law. It has never been a law. And I have shown them and sent them pictures of the actual law and who signed it, Bill Clinton. Oh, that's fake. No, it's
Obama's
not.
Birth certificate's Wait. Fake. The law is real.
Yeah. And, you know, and then you start to explain to them that there are legal ways to come into this country. Well, it takes years and a lot of money to become a citizen of the United States. Well, yes, it does. But you can go to a port of entry, you can go to a consulate, you can get asylum, and you will reside in America.
You can go to the first country that you cross into from the country that you're seeking asylum from, which would be Mexico, and no one seems to be seeking asylum there.
Well, in a country, you know, where they've got a mayoral race that just had its 48th mayoral candidate executed by the drug cartels, who would want to live there?
Well, wait a minute.
I can't say that word.
Yeah.
But, you know, our president nailed it when they said, you know, hole. It's a hole.
Yeah.
And it's the failing of intellectual honesty that drives me nuts. It's where was your outrage for these kids during Clinton, during Bush, during Obama? You know, this has been going on through three presidencies, 10 congressional sessions, and almost two decades now. And nobody said a word, but all of a sudden, you know, when Donald Trump gets there, all of a sudden, oh, it's just horrible, and he's a terrible man. And you talk to these people, and they don't have the most basic fundamental understanding of how our government works.
Well, and that's because one side bases all of their opinions and thought processes on emotions, and the other one bases them on logic. So you feel bad when you see a kid coming across the border who's, you know, hungry and tired and thirsty and has had horrible things happen to him, is probably going to continue to have horrible things happen to them. That's emotional, so you need to stop that. But now if you think of it logically, why would this kid's parents send him on a 1,000-mile journey? You know, why would a loving parent do that? I can't imagine. Now, you know, my kids once in a while kind of, you know, irritate me once in a while, but I wouldn't say, okay, that's it. You head to Canada. You're going to Canada. When you get there, you know, tell them whatever, something, and have them, you know, do something for you. That, you don't do that.
Yeah. Maybe I could head to Canada and tell them I'm an unaccompanied minor.
Maybe. You see, hey, we grow them big down here in the States.
Corn fed. But and what gets me is, you know, there's some people that you can kind of bring to ground and ramp down the emotional responses and start to have a discussion with. Unfortunately, I found it to be few and far between. And you say, okay, you have a problem with the immigration laws is what you fundamentally have a problem with. I, as well, fundamentally have a problem with the immigration laws. I don't think they're working.
No.
I think they're draconian. So how do we fix it? Well, President Trump has no authority, zero power to do anything about the law. You know, a lot of people think that President Trump created this immigration law. The executive branch has no power to create law. There's one branch of government that can create law, and that's the legislative.
So maybe we should contact Doug LaMalfa, maybe see if he can fix this. Or he's kind of busy doing other things, though.
Yeah, he's a little bit busy with Puerto Rico. Probably be diving into that after the break here. But, yeah, there's some things behind that, too.
Yeah, which we will definitely get to. But, yeah, if you don't like the laws, change the law. I mean, it's just that simple.
That's the fundamental thing. And then, you know, these people try to take the moral high ground. Well, if you support this, you're a bigot and blah, blah, blah. Okay, keyboard commando, what have you done to fix it other than throw personal insults on Facebook? Have you called your representatives? Have you called your congressman? Have you put out petitions? What have you done? Have you gotten off of your pimple patch and done a single thing to affect change?
Well, I posted a couple memes.
Exactly. I'm affecting the world, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, I think we're going to go off to a break here, and when we get back, we will discuss Puerto Rico. Red has some great info on that, so.
Yeah, why would we want that hole?
American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead. So we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home.
The parties and the activities are great.
I love living here. I wouldn't live any place else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Canada's Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that a private university must align all of its, quote, codes of conduct with the state's or lose its accreditation. Now, this decision has essentially banned faith from the public sphere, and it will have a ripple effect across all professions and institutions. The sexual revolution has changed many foundational standards of moral and ethical norms, and now it has been legally weaponized in Canada. But here in the USA, religious freedom will be defended. Visit pgi.org and obtain your free guide, The Constitution on Campus.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down.
You left my favorite part out of that song. We'll put a boot in your anyways. So we were about to talk about Puerto Rico and me being a Jeffersonian and worrying about all things Jefferson. I don't know if my fellow Jeffersonians have really thought about this or not, but bringing Puerto Rico in.
Life? How?
Would it improve anybody's lot in life? Would it improve,
it
I don't know.
Would.
Really? Who would that be?
Well, that would be primarily Goldman Sachs and Oppenheimer funds.
Who, I think I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, who during the last couple of years were buying up Puerto Rican sovereign debt as fast as it came up. They were basically funding the government of Puerto Rico and compiling the debt, compiling the debt, compiling the debt. And here's the thing, Puerto Rico is going to declare bankruptcy. They're going to default on that debt. Goldman Sachs is 13% of their asset portfolio is now, locked up in Puerto Rico sovereign
those the,
debt.
Isn't the Goldman Sachs guys, aren't those the ones that own about half the congressmen and half the senators in the United States, if not more?
That'd be them.
Okay, yeah, that's the same guys. Okay,
that'd be the same guys.
So how would it help them if we brought this Puerto Rico into the United States?
Here's the beautiful thing, is if Puerto Rico comes into the United States, Puerto Rico's debt becomes United States debt. And now the United States of America is on the hook to pay that debt. And guess who gets paid off in spades?
Huh.
Goldman Sachs and Oppenheimer funds. Because now all of that money that they invested in Puerto Rican sovereign debt gets paid back by the United States Treasury with interest.
Which is my tax dollars and
so
your tax dollars.
My question, Doug, is are you getting the money from Goldman Sachs all at once, or are they just paying you a little bit at a time like Monsanto?
How many Oppenheimer funds do you have in your portfolio now,
yeah.
I wonder, as opposed to 2 weeks ago?
Exactly. So what's really about Puerto Rico? What's really going on? I mean, I'd love to hear some of the valid reasons behind bringing
Well, I know
Puerto
they
Rico
had a
in.
Hurricane, and I know the mayor stood in front of pallets upon pallets upon pallets of supplies and said, Trump isn't doing anything, nobody's mm-hmm. helping us, which I thought was kind of ironic. You could have picked a better
supplies
backdrop than
that. Supplies that were later found that she and her staff were hoarding and parceling out to the highest bidder.
Maybe they should have sent the Clinton Foundation down there, and they would have done a whiz-bang job like they did in Haiti.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear what the tagline is, what the talking points are behind this thought process. And again, why is a representative insulated in Northern California secure chosen to be the one that heads this?
Because he just won an election. He's not going to have to run in November. He's safe for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And he happens to be the head of a little committee, you know. And the two legislative bills that Doug LaMalfa have passed in his years in there have, you know, gone to assist Northern Californians, right? Or are they regarding two Indian casinos that are not even in his constituency?
Well, I know they helped one Northern Californian. That would be Doug LaMalfa.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the guy that supported the TPP.
Yes, yes. And the guy that voted for John Boehner because, you know.
He's a good guy.
Yep. He sure is. And he's got an R next to his name.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, he's got to be good, right?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Do we have a caller, or did they hang up? Oh, okay. I heard the phone ringing. All right. So, boy, we've covered a lot of stuff so far.
Well, and you think about what it would change in the shift in dynamics. What is the potential good for the constituents of Northern California, of
and this
his constituency,
is,
who he is to represent?
And this is a bipartisan plan, too. He's got 37 people that have signed
on
to this.
That
are, yeah, this is a great idea.
This
unbelievable.
Isn't a red or blue plan. This is a green plan.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, guys, when you see
you're
that.
You're talking about, do you have any idea the footprint of 13% of Goldman Sachs' assets wrapped up in this debt looks like? You don't think there's some money flowing out?
Yeah, well, that needs to be made public as much as possible. We need to get that out everywhere we possibly can, because that's exactly why this is happening. There is no other reason out of the blue. They've talked about becoming a state for a while, and it's been kicked around for a while. But
well, they vote on it every so often, too, and
right,
they shoot it down.
Right, and all of a sudden, you know.
So the citizens of Puerto Rico don't want it. The citizens of the United States are rightfully skeptical about it. Especially the constituents that he represents.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear some answers on that, but I kind of doubt we'll get them.
Yeah, he's supposed to be coming to the Reading Patriots meeting tentatively in a couple months, but somehow I don't think that's probably going to happen.
Now there's too many uncomfortable questions, like, do you understand the Constitution?
Yeah, maybe if he had to do a runoff, he might have been more eager to come up here. But now that the runoff is a thing of the past, and no, I seriously doubt if we will see him in September or whenever it's tentative. Sorry, but probably not going to happen. Last time he was there, it wasn't a very pleasant evening for him anyway. So,
you know, and that's my other question is, why Puerto Rico? Why not Guam, the Virgin Islands, American Samoa? You know, any of our other holdings.
Does Oppenheimer Funds own any debt in there?
Not that I know of.
Must be a quinky dink, I suppose.
Just strange, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah.
So,
but my question is once people have this knowledge, what are they going to do to hold Doug LaMalfa accountable?
Well, again, he's got two more years, and 2 years from now, it'll mostly be forgotten. I mean, we just had that happen in our local elections here. You know, people have been complaining about crime, and there's been nothing we could do. Jails are full, AB 109, Prop 47, Prop 57, yada, 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 on and on and on. All of a sudden, before the election, Basenko and Baugh both have a plan. They're going to get jail beds everywhere. They've got jail beds. They got more jail beds than they know what to do with.
How many years have we been listening to that?
Well, but you got to remember, 2-3 months before an election, there's a plan now. So vote for those guys and get them back in. So, yeah, I put the challenge out there. How many of those jail beds are we actually going to see now that Basenko barely skated through and Bob barely skated through, and they've got four more years? I wonder how many jail beds we're actually going to see.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Has the Board of Supervisors voted on stop stealing the AB 109 funds yet?
I don't think they voted on it. I don't think they decided not to do it either.
Are there going to be any prosecutions for the embezzlement? Because that's what it is.
Yep.
Is when you take funds that are allocated for something and you divert them in a way that is clearly stipulated you cannot do, that's embezzlement of public funds.
And, you know, the year before when the grand jury came out with a report, and there was all sorts of dirty stuff going on. Whatever happened? Nothing. They said, hey, grand jury, you did a great job. You really unearthed a lot of stuff. Good for you.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
We're not going to do a damn thing.
And we're not
going
to do anything about it. Nothing going to happen. But, hey, but good job. Good job. At least now we know. And now this report comes out, and it's the same thing. I mean, well, when's people going to jail? When are people going to step down? When are they going to resign?
Never. Why would they?
Yeah.
They're not held accountable.
They certainly aren't. And I don't know. It's about time to start holding people accountable. But meantime, I think today we might have a protest going down in Cyprus City Hall for the border situation. That's what I hear. I mean, they're not protesting because, I don't know, our elected officials have been funneling funds. But, you know, they seem to be concerned about that. So, you know.
So there's a protest for border control or against it? Or?
Against it, from what I understand. I have to look it up again. I saw something come through. Some buddies were texting me, and I guess there's some sort of a protesting the border, protesting us finally enforcing the laws that have been on the books for 30 years. You know, mm-hmm. that's one thing you do. You pass bad laws, and if you don't like them, you just don't, you know, you just ignore them and don't do them. Well, if somebody comes along and decides, well, I'm sorry, this is the law, this is what we're going to have to do, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, that's one of the points that, well, actually, we're coming up on another break here, so we'll probably get into it after that. But that's one of the points that people need to really understand and really think about when they talk about, well, just don't enforce the law. That's a horrible, horrible idea, whether you agree with the law or not. But
although I will say there's some gun laws in California that I've just decided not to comply with any longer. There's also some hunting regulations in California that I no longer comply with. So, whatever. It is what it is. Come arrest me if you want. I want a jury of my peers, please. Mm-hmm. Tell me that I can't shoot a squirrel with lead shot anymore in California. So, give me a jury of my peers.
I don't know. The lead was there when I got here.
Absolutely.
It must have been some other hunter, and he swallowed it.
I think one of my favorite Mark Baird stories is when he went down, was it De Leon's office? I don't remember, but whoever the guy was that passed the law to ban using lead bullets and lead shot in California. So Mark Baird went down there with a big old rock, somehow got through security, had an appointment, went in there and set the rock on the guy's desk, and the guy said, "What's that?" And Mark Baird said, "That's lead ore." He said, "Where'd you get it?" He says, "I dug it up on my ranch, and it's all over the place." And the guy's comment was, "That's where lead comes from? I thought they made it in a factory." And you just wrote a law to ban us using lead because it pollutes the ground. It's in the ground. That's where they get it. Exactly. Unbelievable. But
yeah. We better break off to the break here, and we'll dive into some things when we get back. You guys got any questions, comments out there, give us a call, 605-4567. This is KCNR.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
To know that we've got it good, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly.
All right, we are back. Phone line's still open. Let's see if we can get some callers. How about we talk about some gun laws? That usually gets people going. So I was talking to Robert about this beforehand. So in 2007, they passed a law here in wonderful California that said all new semi-automatic handguns are going to have micro stamping on the side of the shell casing or around the primer, wherever, so that you can identify what gun that came from. Seems like another great idea. Yeah, another one of those emotional things. Oh, this will be good. I watch First 48, and when they find bullets, they'll know exactly who shot them, and they'll solve all these crimes. Problem is, there is no technology that lets you do that. So
One of the big problems is that most of the firearms that homicides are committed with are stolen.
Racist. Anyhow, if you can't argue, just drop the R-bomb.
Go right to the racism card.
So they passed this law that says all these new semi-autos are going to have micro-stamping or whatever. Well, there is a challenge to the law, of course. Now, here's something I thought was kind of funny as I'm reading it. The gun law passed in 2007 is supported by police organizations that say the stamps would help officers determine the source of bullets found at crime scenes. Do you think those same police organizations, after the Janus decision, are going to be behind all these ridiculous things that they now seem to always be behind?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm waiting for the shakeout of this, and I think it's something that's going to happen very quickly. I think it'll be ones and twos here and there, and then you know all of the other little prairie dogs are going to stick their head up and kind of watch what happens. And when they see nothing happens, it's going to be a flood of lemmings.
Yeah, it's funny. Police organizations, oftentimes, every time you see something that, you know, police officers, and some of them are pretty darn good guys, and they're fairly conservative, and they're, you know, they got into the job for law and order, and, you know, and all of a sudden you see their organization is just behind some of the most lawless things and these horrible gun laws and this and that. Well, because a police organization really means a police union, and once again, the members have no say where their dollars go.
There is a way out for the unions. If I understand the way that the decision was written, there is a way out for the unions, because what the decision said is you cannot compel people to be part of the union if you are making political statements with your money. So you stop making political contributions. Well, then technically you can still compel people to be part of the union. You just can't make political contributions anymore.
And those unions better be as careful about not making political contributions as our current pastors and preachers are about not making political things off the pulpit. So, yeah. But anyhow, this law, it ended up going to the California State Supreme Court. And in a unanimous decision, they said that even though the technology does not exist, they're going to uphold this law, and that it's justified, and that they can do that because this will force companies to create technology. What part of shall not be infringed would that fall under?
Well, where does there any kind of power granted to the court system to create laws for any reason?
Well, this was a law that was created through the legislature, but it was.
But in the decision, they basically said, we're doing this create the law to force people to create this technology.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that that thought concept and take it to the extreme to just highlight how ridiculous it is. That's like them passing a law that says every Californian's got to trade in their car for a flying car.
Yeah, or every California has to have solar on their own. Oh, wait a minute, they passed that one. Okay, that was a bad example. Every California house has to have Chinese solar panels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insanity,
yeah,
is what's going on. And it is a de facto taking of your Second Amendment rights. And that's exactly the reason that they put the law in, is they knew that there's no way that they can make this happen.
No. They couldn't get away. They couldn't come out and say, we are going to ban semi-automatic handguns. Because there would have been enough of a backlash that people would have stood up and said no. So they come out and say, okay, we're going to make every semi-automatic handgun that's purchased in the state of California have micro-stamping on the side of the thing. Oh, by the way, there is no company that currently does micro-stamping. There is no company that's able to do that. There's no technology for
it. There's no company that intends to because it's not fiscally responsible.
Correct. But we're not banning semi-automatic handguns. You just can't buy one because none of them will fit our parameters anymore.
Wait, why don't you just pass a law that says all semi-automatic handguns have got to be made out of paper mache?
No.
It'd be just as effective.
Don't give them any ideas.
Hmm.
So yeah, of course, now they're coming after the bullets, which, if I remember right, that kind of started in the last revolution was they didn't come after the guns in the American Revolution. They came after the powder and the primer and the bullets. That's what they're taking away, the ammunition, and that's what they're doing now in California is this whole background check and getting a card, and it might be $5, it might be $50, it might be $50 every transaction. We're not really sure. Once again, we don't have the technology, by the way. There is no system set up for this, but you are going to have to go through this every time you buy a box of bullets somewhere. And then,
I wonder if anybody has numbers on the rise of ammunition sales in Oregon and Nevada.
Well, that's funny. I will recommend anybody listening, if you decide to go over to Nevada or up to Oregon or whatever, especially Nevada, and you want to go to Cabela's and stock up on ammo, I would suggest you stay in a hotel room and call Uber with a Nevada plate to take you over there, because they are going to make an example out of somebody, I guarantee it, and there's going to be somebody that's going to go over there in a pickup and load up, and hopefully it's not me. I'll definitely turn my Deer Rig license plates backwards if I do, because they're going to take a license plate number down in the parking lot of the gun show or Cabela's or whatever. They'll probably take every California license plate.
They don't even have to do
plate.
That anymore. Look up what the smart highway does.
I don't think I want to.
You don't want to know.
So, yeah, that vehicle is going to come back through the checkpoint there, and they are going to get pulled in, and they are going to have a truckload of ammo, and they are going to be made an example of, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be taking that person's guns. They're going to be taking their freedom. They're going to be taking everything they can from them to show every other Yahoo out there, don't try to get around our laws.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like this guy.
My question is how can you ban the import of a legal product from one state to another? Isn't that in defiance of interstate commerce?
It would certainly seem it is to me. You know, I also don't understand how you can go over to Nevada, Idaho, for instance, and you can purchase firearms if you have a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there and show them that permit. They know you've already passed a background check. They know you're in compliance with law, and you hand them the money, they hand you the gun, you walk out the door with it. They won't do it to California residents, though.
If you have a true understanding of how our government works, our constitutional rights work, the states have zero authority to pass any kind of law infringing on your gun rights at all, because that power is reserved exclusively to the federal government, and as it is in the Bill of Rights, can only be altered by a constitutional amendment.
Yes, but we don't follow the Constitution of California, right? Is there anything in our Constitution that says we have to follow the United States Constitution?
I don't know. I'll have to check what it said yesterday, and then we'll have to see what it says tomorrow.
Yeah, or, well, not so much what it says, what it means, Red, and how you feel when you read it. I think that's where we're at in California.
Because words change.
And meanings change.
Yes,
exactly.
And changes.
And even though the Second Amendment was never supposed to change, because all you're supposed to have now is a musket and nothing else, the First Amendment has changed so that you can make the image of the Virgin Mary out of elephant dung and get the government subsidies to further your career in arts. That has changed to where, the First Amendment covers just about anything you want to do, burning the flag, whatever it is. But the Second Amendment should still be about muskets.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
So does freedom of the press only extend to people that are down in the basement with one of the old presses with the print type and, you know, hand cranking out each individual
sheet?
Honestly,
I think we'd be better off right now if that's what our press was made of. You know, that is one of the things that drives me crazy. We were talking about it at work the other day, and I mentioned something, I don't know, whatever it was, Obama or whatever, and one of the guys that I work with is like, so why do you care? You know, why is this a big deal? Well, no, and I because the particular issue wasn't that big of a deal in the overall scheme of things. And I said, the reason I care, I said, there is some little journalist back in North Korea or Russia or East Germany or whatever that would give their life to be able to
and
print
have.
What they wanted. And exactly, and have. And you know, they can't print what they want because they would be taken out and murdered. And they can only be used as propaganda arm of the government there. Mm-hmm. And our journalists here have the First Amendment right to print, you know, Donald Trump looks like a Cheeto, whatever. Obama was a Muslim. They can print whatever they want. But instead, they have chosen to be a propaganda arm of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable. It's like you guys are some of the few people on earth that have the right to report anything you want, and you've decided to just go ahead and be the propagandists.
And to try and destroy it. Because, as you said, there are people out there that are committed to journalism, which is the truth, to bringing the truth out to the point that they risk and have lost their lives to bring the truth out. That's why we have the protection, is because back when people were trying to bring out the truth, people were trying to, enlighten the communities and tell people what was going on before the revolution. They were locked up. They were put on prison ships. They were shipped back to England. They disappeared. That's one of the reasons that one of the first protections extended in the Bill of Rights is the freedom of the press.
Yep.
And they should be ashamed.
They absolutely should be. All right, looks like we're going to go to a break. We don't have a choice here. It's a hard one. So we'll see you on the other side. Phone lines are open.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump's national security advisor says the U.S. has a plan that would lead to the dismantling of North Korea's nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs inside of 1 year. John Bolton suggests he expects the North Koreans to cooperate because they want to see sanctions lifted fast and aid from South Korea and Japan start to flow. Bolton spoke today on CBS TV's Face the Nation program. Driving this 4th of July? Better bring your wallet.
According to GasBuddy.com, the average price for regular right now is $2.90 a gallon. That's better than 4 years ago when we paid an average of $3.66. However, that could rise in the next couple of days as oil prices continue to climb up to $73 a barrel on Friday, the highest since 2014. GasBuddy CEO Patrick DeHaan says to be careful if you're crossing state lines to fill up. He says there are some extreme cases where it's cost a driver an extra $25 if they refueled on the wrong side of the line. Ron DeRockster reporting.
A higher minimum wage is kicking in today for workers in two states and 16 local jurisdictions.
Residents in Maryland will see the lowest wages rise to $10.10 an hour. Oregon gets a 50-cent increase to bring the minimum wage to $10.75 an hour. Pay also is set to rise in the cities of Chicago, Minneapolis, Portland, Maine, and Washington, D.C. Other wage hikes are kicking in several California cities and towns, including San Francisco, where the minimum wage will jump to $15 an hour.
In Los Angeles and Malibu, that's $13.25. A suicide bomber targeting a group of Sikhs and Hindus in Afghanistan's eastern city of Jalalabad today killed at least 19 people. Another 20 or so were wounded in the attack, which took place at a busy intersection inside the city. So far, nobody has claimed responsibility for the blast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group.
You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
Want to learn more about getting rid of your troublesome timeshare? Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation. Call 800-786-9300. That's 800-786-9300. 800-786-9300.
Spain says Barcelona will be the docking port for an aid boat that rescued 60 migrants in waters near Libya but was not allowed to come to port in Italy or Malta.
A spokesman for the Spanish Prime Minister says the open arms boat had the right to dock in the eastern city. The spokesman says it would take 4 days for the boat to reach Barcelona. That vessel is run under the Spanish flag by the Barcelona-based aid group Proactiva Open Arms. Spain's new socialist government is pressing other EU nations to treat rescued migrants with dignity and in line with international law.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. New Yorkers are at odds over a new program that's taking away hundreds of parking spaces and doling them out to companies that rent out cars by the hour. New York City is repurposing 230 curbside spaces starting this month for the exclusive use of Enterprise Car Share and Zipcar. News and analysis at townhall.com. With the opening of Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios in Florida, Walt Disney World is also offering guests a new mobile app. It's called Play Disney Parks.
The app debuted this weekend. Entertainment options include interactive theme games, Disney trivia, and digital achievements. A Disney spokesman says the free app is designed to give people an alternative to a heads-down cell phone experience. The idea is to turn wait times for rides into engaging entertainment for families and friends. Rich Thomason reporting.
Today is Sunday, July the 1st. It's a birthday for some notable people, including actress Olivia de Havilland. Yes, she is still with us. She's 102 years old today. Actor Jamie Farr turns 84. Cookie maker Wally Amos, remember famous Amos cookies? 82 years old today. Dancer and choreographer Twyla Tharp has 77 candles on her cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign minds. I am an American.
Yeah, how many sovereign minds are really out there anymore? You know, like we were discussing during the break. How many people really fundamentally understand our system of government? What liberty means?
I think even the term sovereign is now considered racism. I mean, when we say we want to have a sovereign country, sovereign state, a sovereign country. Don't want anybody else in here. You're racist.
I've had people actually ask me that. Oh, are you one of those sovereign citizens?
Yeah.
Are you not? Are you not? What are you?
Yes, damn right. I am a sovereign citizen.
Yeah, it's what's the other term? Nationalist. You're a nationalist. Yeah, I love my nation.
Yeah, America.
And I think America. And I think it's better than every other nation out there. And I would rather live here than any other nation in the entire world. So, yeah, I'm a nationalist. Yeah, absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of my questions is, all of these people that are screaming about, oh, let all of these immigrants in and, you know, they're looking for a better life. Well, according to you, you shouldn't let them into America. If you care about them, America is evil and rotten to the core and terrible. You should be standing at the border screaming at them, this place is horrible. Turn around.
I think we should send them all back on the Bernie train to Venezuela because that has just been, I mean, that was the next, boy, they praised Venezuela. That was just the greatest thing to ever happen.
Hey, I'm actually kind of changing my mind on Venezuela. If I can go hunting in my own local zoo, I don't have to go on safari.
Well, the good news is you can now go to the zoo for free. So the communism has fixed that.
Yeah.
So everybody gets to go to the zoo. Bad news is you can go there for free because there's no animals left because they had to eat them because there's no food on the store shelves.
But, yeah. Wait, you know. What does giraffe neck meat taste like?
I don't know.
Is it stringy?
I heard the latest, though, is there is rabbits. Rabbits are going to solve their problems. I mean, you know, we're laughing, but and actually, it's absolutely horrible. There's people down there starving to death. And
it's a sad situation.
There is no food. There is no. They have huge oil reserves, and you know, they're starving to death because they
should
have
be one
nothing.
Of the richest nations yep. on earth. And yay, communism!
Yeah, hot dog! Yeah, socialist is going to solve that entire thing. Boy, oh boy! You know, 8 years ago was the greatest thing in the world. Now, not so much. But that's a bad example of socialism. No, that is the example of socialism.
Well, there's two ways to confuse a communist. One way is you put them in a round room, tell them to pee in the corner. The other way is that you tell them to show you one example in human history where communism has worked.
Yeah.
One.
Well, and even socialism, and then you get the those states or those countries over there, Sweden or one of those. Those are the good ones. I get that all the time. Those are the good ones. According to your college professors,
Try asking the people that live there.
Yeah. Where 90% of what they have is taken from them.
Mm-hmm. Where they're looking at like 64% taxes.
And it's funny, doesn't anybody ever question, you know, Bernie Sanders, and I'll give him credit, he definitely ignited a flame there,
why did Bernie ignite the flame? Was it because people are socialism, or should his campaign slogan have been, vote Bernie, I'm not Hillary?
Well, a little bit of both, I think, but I think they're, you know, with our school system, and telling kids from the time they're, you know, 5, 6 years old. I mean, you start out in kindergarten, first grade, and tell them that, you know, America came about because we killed all the Indians. We came in here and slaughtered all the Indians. We gave them blankets full of smallpox, and we killed all the Indians, and we stole their land. You know, and then as they get older, it's one thing after another. America's horrible. We had slavery. All of our founding fathers are owned slaves, and it was terrible, and yada, yada, yada. Nobody's ever paid for that, and there's been no reparations. So by the time they go to college, and then they get even worse, so everything that they've believed or been told now is being reinforced, well, yeah, they think they're living in a horrible country that is only here because we stick our nose in everybody else's business, and we take over other countries, and we force our way onto them, and, you know, so, this is a horrible country. Well, okay, then why would we want to take these poor kids from South America and Mexico into our country if it's so horrible?
Exactly. I mean, shouldn't we be shipping them back in
best
the
droves?
Do. Because those are socialist paradises.
Exactly. Yeah, and they have a much better growing climate than we do here. So, I mean, you ever go back to the Midwest and the Plains and Nebraska and Montana, it gets pretty darn cold, and you got lush, beautiful paradises down there in South America and Mexico. So why in God's name would we want to bring them here?
Ever want to come here?
Yeah.
Why would you ever want to fight for those people to be allowed to stay in the evil, horrible America?
Maybe instead of building a wall, we ought to just show them videos of how horrible this country is, and they'll just turn around on their own and go back. You think?
No.
No?
No. No.
Okay. Well, maybe it's the wall is going to keep our people here because God knows this is such a horrible place. Who would want to stay here on their own?
Why would you want to go anywhere else?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go anywhere
vacation,
else.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Yeah. You know, even on vacation, I don't want to go anywhere.
Not particularly. I kind of like where I come from.
I had some friends up here a few years ago, and they went on a big guide trip down to Mexico, and it was great times until the hurricane hit and knocked the power out, and all the people in the resort town said adios and headed to the hills, and they were down there literally like sharpening sticks, thinking they were going to have to fight their way out, having nothing to do but drink warm Corona and, you know, eat whatever. I mean, and trying to get out of that country, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no thanks.
Or you're down there partying in a nightclub and the cartel decides to go after somebody and, you know, just blows the place up or burns it down or comes in and beheads a bunch of people. And Mexico's great. Guess what? You can't illegally immigrate there either.
My neighbors were just down there, and just after they got back, and it was a resort town, some guys came riding up on a couple of jet skis and opened fire on a taco wagon or a taco truck on the side of the road. Somebody was there they wanted to, you know, take out or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, thanks. Beautiful place. Send me a postcard. I'll look at that. That's close enough for me. Hawaii is the most, you know, foreign country I ever want to go to.
Well, my question is if I go to the Mexican border and I go across illegally and I get detained, does that make Mexicans racist?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that how that works? But, according to their logic?
But then they make you a citizen, don't they? Give you welfare, and then you can get housing and everything.
No, I don't think that's the way it goes.
Oh, no, that's right. That's when they come here. I get it.
And the other one that I try to explain to people, entering the country illegally is not a felony. It's a misdemeanor. Re-entering the country after you've been deported is a felony. So these people that are coming across and being detained and losing kids and all of this stuff... This is not news to them. They're repeat offenders.
Hmm. Interesting.
They've known this.
Did you see this on CNN or MSNBC? I must have missed it. I didn't see it on either one of those.
No, I didn't.
Pick this up somewhere else.
Find it there.
That's probably why nobody knows about it, I guess.
Yeah. It's your initial attempt to enter the country is a misdemeanor. They just turn you around and point you back the other way, basically. I mean, there's a little bit more to it than that, but it's not a felony until you've been deported and have tried to re-enter.
Hmm. So you're saying these people coming across have an idea that it's wrong?
Yes.
Huh.
They've been through the process already. And my question is if you can legally immigrate to this country, and everybody goes, oh, well, yeah, the immigration process takes forever. And it does.
It does.
And I agree. I think that we should fix it. I think our laws are outdated. I think they need fixed. You know, you look at the great immigrations into America in the past with just pen and paper and Ellis Island and other ports of entries, we could bring in thousands of people at a time. And with the wonders of technology and the internet and all that, we can't expedite the process?
Well, see, I'm not even sure our immigration laws are that horrible. I think it's the fact that you have a giant bureaucracy in charge of things. Just like I don't think the doctors at the VA hospitals are all horrible. You have a giant bureaucracy between the patients of the VA and the doctors in the VA. And you have a bureaucracy between the people that want to come in this country legally and the way that they can do it.
And the law exists that if you need asylum, you can go to one of the United States consulates or the port of entry and apply for asylum, and you can reside, you can live, you can work in the United States with a visa, with an asylum visa, while your case is sorted. You don't have to go back to wherever you came from to wait for the process. So if this avenue is open to you, if you have all of these places that you go to enter our country legally, why are you doing it illegally?
Well, and we pass out work visas left and right here, so all this argument of, oh, well, we know there's jobs that Americans won't do. Well, first of all,
I've done those jobs.
Right. And I do a job now where it brings me into contact with quite a few people who don't work at all. So if you have a problem with jobs that Americans won't do and you have a whole bunch of Americans that don't work, I think that probably could solve itself. But even then, we can bring – people can come in here into the United States on a work visa and do jobs. But it has to be legal. They pay taxes. It's all, you know, part of the program. And it might be easier for that giant bureaucracy for people just to go, hey, I can get this guy come across the border and have him go pick the peaches or whatever and not, you know, have to pay any of this workers' comp and all this Social Security and everything else.
And the problem is that there's people that are paying the people in power that benefit from illegal immigration, whether it's in votes or it's in cheap labor.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, we got Mary on the line. Mary, are you still there?
Yes, and I'll be real fast. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you don't need to be real fast, Mary.
Okay. There's an open sign on the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, I've been told. It's probably by the same person that thinks our first president is Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
But they said the open sign is there. It says, send me everybody.
Hmm. Yeah.
Meek, homeless, send them all to me.
Absolutely.
You're weak, you're poor, you're sick, you're huddled masses.
Yeah.
Thank you, yes.
We'll take them all. And they don't have to do anything once they get here.
But it's true, is America is, and I've said it many, 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 many times, is that I think one of the best things for America is more Americans.
Absolutely.
But there has to be a process to it. Okay, we expect certain things out of our citizens. Why would we not expect certain things out of our new citizens?
Well, and it's funny. Our new citizens used to want to come here, and they wanted to become Americans. They didn't want to remain from whatever country they were from and be citizens of that country living in America. They wanted to be Americans. You know, I always remember the stories of my great-grandfather. My dad would tell me that my great-grandfather, they were from Germany, actually, from Black Russia, but they spoke German, and they would not speak German in front of the children, in front of my grandmother. They spoke German amongst themselves, amongst the parents, but in front of the kids they would not speak German because they came to this country to become Americans. Mm-hmm. They wanted their kids to learn English. They knew to be successful you had to learn English. To do well in school you had to learn English. So they spoke broken English, but they would not speak German in front of the kids. So my grandmother grew up, you know, in a household where the parents spoke German, but she couldn't speak German because her parents specifically did not want her to learn to speak German. None of the kids spoke German, you know. And, I mean, and that's again, great. That's what makes America great. If you want to come here and be an American, God, my arms are open for you. I bless you. Come on in. I'll help you out. You know, I'd love to, you know, help you and whatever we can do. But don't come here and want to be a citizen of a foreign nation in my country.
Yeah, don't show up with a pack of 8-year-old girls that you've been raping for 1,000 miles with a bunch of cocaine stuffed inside of them and try to sneak across the border and claim that I'm a racist.
Exactly.
Go to hell.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh, geez. Do we have another break to go to? All right. Well, phone lines are still open. Mary was quick, so give us a call.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Coming to the historic Cascade Theater Movie Palace screen, it's an Annie sing-along party and you're invited. It's the movie musical with all the words on the screen, a great opportunity to slap on a curly red wig and sing your heart out with the rest of the audience. It's the Annie Sing-Along Party at the Cascade Theater, Saturday, January 16th at 2 p.m. Don't wait till tomorrow. Get your tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Independence Day, and it certainly is, actually. It's tomorrow, July 2nd, actual Independence Day, and the one we celebrate July 4th. So it is coming up. So
we're still here. Somehow.
Absolutely. I don't know if our forefathers would be real happy to see what we've done, but, you know, it is what it is. We're trying to slowly take it back.
The contest is yet to be decided.
I agree. And it seems like our side is finally, you know, maybe stepping up and, you know, go ahead. You've been calling us racist. You've been calling us homophobes. You've been calling us, you know, Islamophobes. You've been calling us names for 40 years, and we've turned the other cheek for long enough. And now, you know, if nothing else, Donald Trump has shown that you don't need to always turn the other cheek.
No, that's true. And I had a friend, you know, tell me something. And because I always get so incensed and so offended, you know, somebody that calls me a racist or a bigot or a homophobe or anything, because it's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
And he told me, he goes, go ahead, accept it, own it. And he said, once you take that away from them, what do they have to throw at you? Nothing. They have nothing left.
No, that's true. And, you know, again, that's kind of funny because that's where we are now. Donald Trump has been called names for 2 years. He isn't backing down. He isn't turning the other cheek. You know, I'll never forget when he came down that escalator. I happened to be off that day. The job I had, I was off Mondays and Tuesdays, and that was a Tuesday. He came down that escalator. He made his speech, and I thought, wow, I agree with every single word you just said. But you can't say that. You're going to be ripped apart. Yeah, you can't say what you just said. And sure enough, the next day, I mean, the PGA Tour said, that's it. We're not playing on your golf courses anymore. Macy's said, we're kicking your clothing line out of our store. Univision said, hey, we're not broadcasting the Miss Universe pageant anymore. I mean, he lost tens of millions of dollars the day after he made that speech.
Mm-hmm.
And when he turned around and said, I ain't taking a word of it back, and I'll see all of you in court because we're under, you know, we're under contract, and I'll see you in court. I meant every word I said, and I'm like, holy smokes. Someone that didn't cower into a corner and beg for forgiveness, you know, and start donating money to La Raza to prove that they're nothing of that sort. They didn't mean anything they said, and I thought, wow. I think I could get to like this guy.
Well, and my thing is people that have an issue with Donald Trump and despise Donald Trump and all of these things, ask yourself what has been going on then that would push enough people into a corner that they would vote for a guy like Donald Trump. If you really feel and believe like that, and to say, oh, well, America's always been racist. Well, where were all of these rabid racists during 8 years of Barack Obama?
And when Barack Obama got elected, you know.
Did all of a sudden the racists just outnumber the other people? I mean, what happened? Where were they then?
Yeah. And in actuality, I think Barack Obama got elected the first time. I really believe he got elected because there were so many Americans that wanted to prove they weren't racist. So, you know, here's a guy that can talk real well and, you know, doesn't seem to have, you know, no history whatsoever. So, you know, if you have no history, it's not good or bad. So you can't really dig up a whole lot of bad things about him. And he spoke real well, and he's eloquent. And, you know, hey, it's my time to prove I'm not a racist. Not to mention he's running against John McCain, which was about as good a candidate as Hillary Clinton was against Bernie Sanders. So, you know, that's I think he got elected the first time because people wanted to prove they weren't racist. And then the second time, it was like, holy smokes, you know, I proved I wasn't racist on the first election, but I'm going to have to prove I'm not an idiot this time and vote against the guy. But I think by then our system was so rigged that I truly still don't believe he won that second term, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
No, because there were so many things that came up and were brought up, and the Republican Party didn't even make a noise about it. I mean, there was polling districts in Philadelphia that there wasn't a single vote.
100%. Now, you never have 100% of anything. Somebody in there is going to happen to, you know, on accident, mark the wrong box at least once somewhere. But all of a sudden, 100% here and 100% here and this entire thing. And these ballots were lost.
Reports of places in Baltimore of Black Panthers with nightclubs out in front of polling places.
But
I think that
was the way the election was supposed to go because, of course, Romney in the second debate just wiped the floor with him and then just sat out the last debate because he wasn't supposed to win.
He wasn't supposed to wipe the floor with him.
No. And so we got to pull back.
He was suffering from elevation sickness.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder how he's going to do in Utah.
Huh.
I'm wondering, I see every now and then, I guess once a year at least, I must be still on a Mitt Romney page of some kind or something. So when it's his birthday, I'll see, it's Mitt Romney's birthday. Everybody should wish him a happy birthday. And when I go and read those comments, I would say 85% of them are just terrorizing him. I mean, you're horrible. You sold us out. You're a piece of garbage. Yada, yada, yada. So I'm interested to see how he does.
Yeah, you know who his biggest backer was? Goldman Sachs.
So he could be the new senator in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, maybe.
Miguel Romneo.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of the problem too, is you're watching basically the disintegration of the two-party system.
Absolutely.
In America, and it's happening on the right and the left.
You have people out there in the Republican Party, George Will and some of these, establishment or right, supposedly right-wing, whatever, that are still never Trumpers, that are still hoping something happens and Trump gets out of office. I mean, it's like, dude.
Because he is as big a threat to their system and to their contributors and to their special interests that they serve as he is the Democrats.
Yep, absolutely. And then the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, they're both so stinking corrupt. It's amazing.
He's
sold out. Yep. And I thought during that election, Donald Trump could have come out at any time and said, listen, I want every one of my followers to leave the Republican Party and join the Trumpicans or the Independents or whatever. And I think it would have completely killed the Republican Party. And now you have the same thing going on with the Democratic Party, where the Democrats have always been, we're for the working guy, we're the blue-collar people, we're the minorities, we're the this and that. Well, a lot of the minorities are going, you ain't for us. You ain't done nothing for us. What did Barack Obama do? He looks like us, and he ain't never done anything for us,
Made it worse.
Exactly. And then you got the blue-collar guys going, okay, you've given up NAFTA, and you've given up all these trade agreements and killed our jobs and moved our businesses overseas. We can still give you our union dues, and you haven't done nothing for us. So I think the Democratic Party is imploding, and I think the Republican Party is imploding.
Well, the economy is improving in other parts of the country. And, I talk to a lot of people in California and stuff, and we don't see it here. I have a lot of friends that are spread out across the country. I talk to a lot of people. I've got a brother in North Dakota. I've got a good friend in South Dakota. I've got people in Missouri. I've got them all. And they're seeing it. There's jobs. There's people going back to work. There's businesses reopening. The places that have been boarded up are starting to, be unshuttered and go back together. We look around here and we don't see
because
we're in California.
Exactly. And our jobs are leaving. Our jobs are going to these other states right now, and they have been for quite a while.
People are bailing in droves.
Right. And I tell you what, the few hardcore guys that are still here with a business, when they find out that they could probably double their business going somewhere else, we got to hold them here at State of Jefferson is their only hope, but...
We can't surrender it.
No.
It just, to me, it comes down to sheer stubborn, I'm from here. You ain't getting rid of me.
And that's how I feel, too. And I also feel, believe me, it's tempting to head to Wyoming or Idaho or Montana or Utah. But here's the deal. If our forefathers in the American Revolution had said, boy, things are sure bad here in Lexington, let's go down to Georgia for a while or somewhere else, eventually you're going to have to stand and fight. And you got to stand up or it's going to follow you there. Keep in mind, folks, when you got a lot of Californians moving to Idaho and Colorado and Wyoming or wherever, it's not all just the good Californians that are moving there. And there's some other Californians that are going to bring California policies with them. So
ask Colorado.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's time to stand and fight and say, okay, you're not getting me out of here. cold, dead hands.
And understand the desperation of the situation that we're in, and it should be extremely visible what we are facing. If we do not get this done, if we do not handle this civilly, if we do not can take control of our government and our society again, we are facing violence in the streets. They are the other side is actively calling for it, actively preaching it, begging people to be in the streets, begging people to disrupt services, begging people to fight, to riot, to... And that's what we're going to be facing if we don't get this done.
Yeah, and speaking of which, did you see Maxine Waters canceled a couple of her appearances in the last 2 days? So Maxine that said, harass them at the gas station, harass them in the grocery store, harass them at the department store, don't let them go anywhere without you getting in their face and harassing them. Apparently, she just decided to cancel some of her appearances because she was getting a whole bunch of threats.
I still think it's James Brown in a wig.
Could be, yeah. It's pretty ugly, whatever it is, that's for sure. So, yeah, in Portland, they just had violence in the streets, and that didn't end real well because, Antifa, I mean, when they get their Little League helmet and paint it black and make it look cool and come out of their mom's basement, and they're pretty tough when there's a whole bunch of them. But when you're facing some American patriots, and those guys have been to war and have military training, didn't end so well for them.
But that's what's coming.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the cops in Portland stood on the sidelines and let it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... You know, that's where I don't think the government's going to help. I think here in this little enclave, we're kind of safe. But Berkeley, San Jose, you get further down there, the cops are going to stay on the sidelines, and there's going to be more of them than there is of us. And so it's getting ugly, and I don't see it getting any better. And when you have leaders of the party saying, hey, go out and harass people and get in their face. So,
yeah.
I think it was kind of ironic that this whole Red Hen thing happened in Lexington. Didn't the last revolution happen in Lexington? Didn't it start there, kind of?
Yeah. The shot heard around the world.
That's what I thought. So the, kicking somebody out of your restaurant heard around the world.
Well, here's the thing is I actually support that business owner's right to refuse service to anyone.
I do, too.
I don't think much of her reasons. I don't think much, but I support her right to do that. You know, and here's, now we have the liberal conundrum. Okay, you've got a right to kick somebody out for their political beliefs, but this person doesn't have a right to kick somebody out for their religious beliefs.
Exactly.
So, which is it?
And not only that, but what really got to me is then this woman followed Sarah Sanders' party to another restaurant and harassed them there.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, and what's ironic is Sarah Sanders' in-laws are liberals, so Sarah Sanders and her husband went home. They just like, oh, we don't need this. You guys just go ahead and go out to dinner. We're going to go home. So they went home. Well, here their liberal friends got a taste of their own medicine from their own party going, this isn't really nice when it happens to us.
Well, as they continue to suffer losses, as they continue to suffer setbacks, their true nature is being exposed.
Yeah.
And it's ugly.
It is. There's so much hatred there, and there's always been hatred there. There was hatreds for the blacks 50 years ago. Yeah, they like to say the party switched. I don't remember ever getting a notice that the party switched.
No.
No, you were the party.
Yeah, which party stood in the schoolhouse door?
Exactly.
Which party was it that was out bombing black churches and little kids?
Yep.
Which party was burning crosses on the lawns?
Which party wrote the Civil Rights Act?
Yeah.
In fact, look up the Civil Rights Act of 1957, because that was just as strong.
Which party passed the Civil Rights Act without a single Democratic vote?
Exactly. And which party would have passed the 57 Civil Rights Act if it hadn't been killed by filibuster by two segregationists on the Senate floor? Want to take a guess who those segregationists are? One of them was John F. Kennedy, and the other one's Lyndon B. Johnson, the two heroes of the left that, were all support behind the civil rights. Well, no, they weren't.
No.
They were forced to, just like Bill Clinton was forced to sign a welfare reform. It's not that he wanted to. But, the party of hatred is really shining through. It's showing all the time. They've changed their white Ku Klux Klan hats for black Antifa hats. It's the same people. It's the same party. It's the same hatred. So now they just don't hate people of one particular race.
I thought all those vagina hats were just old KKK hats that they washed with the wrong shirt.
they might have been. I had a picture of the owner of the Red Hen in Lexington, her and her husband and kid wearing those hats. Right after Trump was elected. So, yeah, tells you who they are or what they stand for.
Oh, bless their hearts.
Oh, boy, I tell you what. But you're right. As far as, telling somebody, hey, I don't really want to serve you, I have no problem with that.
They have a right.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And my
you
daughter
have
even
a right
said,
to be
yeah.
a bigot.
True.
Doesn't mean I'm going to support you. Doesn't mean I'm not
going to
have
business is going to suffer.
Yeah, your business has suffered, but you have a right to be that
person.
Absolutely.
And just like you have a right, you know, I thought it was kind of funny, Chick-fil-A, when they came out and said, well, we're not for gay marriage. Okay, well, whatever. Whether you agree with that or not, doesn't matter. But he has the right to say that.
And why is that company even being forced to make a stance one way or the other?
I tell you what, you take the marriage license out of the government's hands and you don't even have an issue.
That's one of the things that I talked about with gay marriage. Do you support legalization of gay marriage? No. Oh, well, you're a bigot. No. I want to know why I have to go to the government to get a piece of paper
Absolutely.
That gives me permission in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
I don't think we should get a say. The government should have a say one way or the other.
Yep. And if you took the government out of the equation, there would be no issue of gay marriage.
Yeah, there's no problem, is there?
Nope.
And why are they involved in a religious ceremony?
And just like if we hadn't passed a law to ban a plant that has certain side effects that some people like and some people hate, if you hadn't passed the law and got the government out of the middle, there wouldn't be an issue there either.
There wouldn't be a problem.
So people, I mean, you know, you need to look at your issues that you're fighting and realize, is it the other side you're fighting, or is it the government that got in the middle to get you guys
and
fighting?
And understand liberty on a fundamental level. You can't say that you exist for liberty and then use your liberty to attack someone else's because you don't agree with what they're doing.
100%. Yeah.
Well, with that, we better get off to our break.
All right.
All right.
Happening in the state of Jefferson. Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Spring is springing, the trees are leafing, the birds are chirping, and temperatures are on the rise. So, your heater's probably the last thing on your mind, right? Fact is, right now is the perfect time to prepare for next winter. Through June 8th, SSD Oil is offering 20% off maintenance and 10% off parts with an additional 5% discount for our veterans. SST Oil Services Monitor and Toyotomi brands of heaters and water heaters. When you call SST at 241-1167, ask about early bird discounts on kerosene May through July. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, 530-241-1167.
American too, still an American.
We all are.
Yes,
that's the rub. We all are.
So we were talking about, we got into all sorts of things, gay marriage, marijuana, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, once again, if you take the government out of the middle, you don't have an issue anymore.
Exactly. If we had never surrendered that purview to them in the first place, there wouldn't be an issue because at the end of the day, it ain't none of our business.
No, and it gun control is the same way. You know what? We have the right. It shall not be infringed. The Constitution does not say everybody has to have a gun and everybody needs to go hunting and everybody needs to learn how to use the gun and everybody should have a gun, and we propose that every American have a gun. It doesn't say that. It just says the right to bear shall not be infringed. Yeah. Okay, so if you don't want to own a gun, don't own a gun. Don't go hunting.
And if you don't want me doing that on your private property, you have that right.
Absolutely.
Just like I have the right to say that you can on my property. And when it comes to public property, I'm sorry, we have the protection to do so.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and, you know.
Again, as you said, the point is why did we ever surrender any of that to the purview of the government? When did we ever allow the government to dictate who could get married and who couldn't? Why do I have to pay for a license for the privilege of getting married? Are you kidding me?
It's nobody's business but yours and your wife's, plain and simple.
Exactly.
Or one guy and his husband, or one woman and her wife, whatever the case may be. Who cares?
If you want to smoke marijuana, that's none of my business. Don't do it in my yard. Don't do it in front of my kids. I'm probably not going to hire you, but... And don't expect me to subsidize you on welfare while you do it. But other than that, it's none of my business.
Yeah, exactly. I could care less.
And, like the thing for gay marriage. You want to tell me what you do in your bedroom is none of your business? Okay. Keep it in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Don't rub it in my face, then don't expect me, and then expect me not to have something to say about it.
And don't tell me I have to accept it. I don't have to accept it. I'm not going to try to stop you from doing whatever you believe in, but don't tell me I have to. It has to be normal, and I have to accept it, and, I have to condone it. No, I don't have to condone it, but I'm not going to try to stop you from doing whatever you're going to do.
No.
It's not my business.
For my religious beliefs, that's between you and God.
Exactly.
It's not my place to...
And it's funny, they've made this gay marriage thing a real issue when it's not really much of an issue or shouldn't be an issue. But, my daughter's a young person, and a lot of young people have this thing, well, if you're against gay marriage, then you're homophobic or you're against gays. No, that's not the case. And what you guys don't understand is the whole gay marriage issue isn't whether you're, you accept gays or not. It's to force... religious churches or whatever to treat these people as if they're an underclassman. So now you can sue somebody that doesn't want to make you okay. You can sue somebody that doesn't want to, hold your wedding.
It's to undermine the moral set
of
other people. It's a way to get around things that they don't like. It's the way to get around people's religious protection. The same way attacking ammunition is the way to get around the right to bear arms. You don't go after the guns, you go after the bullets. It's the same kind of thought process. And one of the biggest issues is, I spoke to a homosexual and I asked him, I said, what is the big deal? You're an atheist. You don't, cotton a lot of these things. You don't, so why is marriage so important to you? And he flat told me, he says, I want my damn tax deduction.
Yeah. So why do we have a tax deduction?
Why do we have a tax deduction? for some people, it's that simple. And when you set aside and say, okay, this class of people here gets a benefit in something as big as, and you get a tax deduction, which is one of our biggest things that founded this country was taxation without representation. And you say, okay, this class of people here gets a tax deduction, but you're not eligible because of your personal choices. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
That is absolutely a problem. That is absolutely not right. But again, if the government wasn't involved in the first place...
Yeah.
What's the issue?
Exactly. And that's where we need to get the government out of everybody's lives. A lot of these issues will go away. I think we'll probably be able to meet in the middle on a whole bunch of things and realize that there's quite a few of us Americans that we may be on opposite sides of the fence, but we have a lot of the same beliefs.
We're not that far apart.
No, we're not.
Once you put the vitriol away and just the visceral gut reactions and the instant fist fight mentality over some of the stuff and sit and talk, the gap is really not that big.
No. No. And it's funny. Yeah, you talk to a typical Trump supporter, you talk to a typical Bernie supporter. Well, one of the reasons both sides like those candidates is they got a lot of the big money out of the equation. They, Trump wasn't
we
really...
We both hate big government.
Exactly. We hate big government, and we hate special interest in corporations that are running everything. So, okay, we can agree on things. What cracks me up sometimes is I have tried not to get into the argument so much, but some libertarians that I know, and they, you know, are totally against the Democratic Party, and they're totally against the Republican Party. Well, yeah, I get that. I agree with you. I'm totally against it, too. And they're totally against big money in politics and this and that, and special. I agree with that, too. Well, you know, they don't like these candidates that are bought and paid for, and I bite my tongue because I'm thinking, you mean like Trump? You know, and they want people that will, you know, limit the government. You mean like Trump's doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they want, you know, they, and it's like, you know, and they don't want to get into wars and, kind of like Trump's kind of been doing.
The problem with a lot of libertarians is that they just disagree with everything.
Right.
So that they don't have to take a position on anything.
And they're a part of a party that has some, you know, great ideas. I mean, I'm more libertarian, and I'm pretty, you're more libertarian, too, than you are Republican or I'm Republican.
Oh, yeah.
I'm much more libertarian.
I'm libertarian.
But they cannot stop shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, every chance they get, they blow it. It's like you've got a presidential candidate where half the country despises one of the candidates, and the other half of the country despises the other candidate. And a lot of people that are in the sides of both the candidates aren't real happy about either one of them. And you have your one and only chance, and you bring forward Gary Johnson, who doesn't know what an Aleppo is. I mean, you've got Rand Paul, you've got Ron Paul, you've got some, you have to have better people than Gary Johnson.
And they do.
But it's like, we don't want to win. We really don't want to win. We want to make our statements, and we want to get on stage, but we really don't want to win.
Well, the beautiful thing about being a libertarian is you can oppose anything, no matter what it is, and then attack from a position of supposed intellectual superiority. If you just have a problem with everything, then you're not responsible for anything, and you're always right.
I know of one libertarian out there that claims she's a libertarian, and yet she's on welfare, and every program there is, every, you know, food stamps, welfare, subsidize this, subsidize that. And I'm thinking, so you're a libertarian, you believe in smaller government, except the portion of government that pays for every single one of you and your family's needs. How's that work out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. But yeah, you're right. Libertarians, that's a good way to put it. They can oppose everything, and they do.
They do. They've got a problem with everything, and that way it's very easy not to have to stand for anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You're never wrong.
You're never wrong. You're always right. It's beautiful. You know, but at the end of the day, nothing changes. Nothing gets better. You know? And we're watching this country right now just be put through this meat grinder, this clash of the two sides, and for people that really are not that far apart from each other.
Well, and it's funny
and
that
we never talk to each other to find out where we're coming from. We don't listen.
No, you're right.
We let somebody else tell us what the other people think.
Yeah, and it's funny, the two sides that are doing the hardest clashes, if you were to talk to them separately, if you were to go to get the Antifa guys and go, so are you so mad because Hillary Clinton didn't win, and were you a big Hillary supporter? Is that the issue? You know, I guarantee 95% of those people couldn't stand Hillary Clinton. They couldn't stand the Democratic Party. They couldn't stand the two sides. They couldn't stand the big government. They couldn't stand all that stuff. And if you get those patriots that have, you know, beat the heck out of the Antifa guys and go to them and say, you know, are you a huge Republican? Is that you're fighting for the Republican Party? I guarantee just about everyone would say, I think the Republicans stink. No.
Well, there is going to be a clash of ideology in this country. It's already occurring. And I really believe that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I think it's going to become direct confrontation.
Well, it's getting there. It was there in Portland yesterday, so.
Yeah, and we've seen it in places like Berkeley and Portland and different places. And, you know, we've seen the results of it in, you know, places like Dallas, where it costs the lives of police officers, where, I mean, violence is, you know, not coming. It's already happened.
It's here, yeah. And you know, the last year's baseball game on baseball practice when, you know, the crazy guy went and shot the Republican Party. I mean,
Bunkerville, Mount Hewer,
yeah.
Portland, Berkeley. These are battles that are already being fought.
Yep. And, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's... And we have to stick to our guns, but at the same time, we need to find a way to get people to come together. But once the positions have been pushed where nobody talks anymore, you can't talk, you can't sit and have a conversation, it's too late.
Now, I did make a post yesterday trying to get the two sides coming together. I showed it to you. Shall I share it? So I said, hey, you know, maybe we should meet the left in the middle. They want to get rid of ICE, and I understand that. So maybe we don't want to get rid of ICE, but how about we go ahead and give them the FBI, the EPA, and the ATF, and give them that.
let's just sit down and just trade back
yeah,
and forth.
Exactly.
And you know, before we know it,
we're going to get rid of the EPA. What do you got? You guys want to get rid of ICE? Well, gosh, okay, ICE. But if we're going to get rid of ICE, then we got to get rid of the BLM. So that's just the way it is.
Exactly.
You know, and then if you want to get rid of whatever Homeland Security, all right, yeah. I agree with that.
You want to get rid of ICE? I want to get rid of HUD.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. Throw them in there.
Yeah. Department of Agriculture, poof.
See, we can meet in the middle, and how about we just get rid of pretty much 90% of the federal government? I mean, I don't think I'd miss it a bit. I know every time they go on furlough or strike or whatever it is when we don't have a budget, and, oh, my gosh, the world's going to end because the federal government is shutting down.
Oh, the government shutdowns.
And it's just like...
How many times have you been directly affected in your life by a government shutdown?
You know, the closest I ever came is during deer season. One of my good friends works for the Department of Forestry. He's a fireman for the Department of Forestry. And he wasn't sure if he was going to be off the next day or not because he was supposed to work. But if the government shut down, we could go hunting the next day. So.
Terrible. Horrible.
That was the closest I came to actually being affected. And I was actually disappointed that they didn't shut the government down. Or no, that he was considered a necessary employee.
I always loved that one.
Yeah.
We're going to send all the non-essential employees home.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We're paying non-essential people?
700,000 of them.
Yeah, we're sending home 700,000 non-essential employees.
And then I remember, during the government shutdown, he was an essential employee because he's a firefighter. You know, a forest catch on fire, they kind of need some people out there. So he was an essential employee, so he worked during the shutdown, but they got directives, of course, this is the Obama administration, they got directives that said you will do nothing other than fight fires. You won't wash the engine, you won't clear brush, you won't pick up around, you know, you won't go to the store and stockpile your goods. You will do nothing that does not entail fighting fires. That is what you're an essential employee for, and that is the only thing you are to do. So... Isn't that great? You can't make this stuff up.
No, and you can't. So. And but most people would have a problem with that kind of waste, with that kind of stupidity, with that kind of insanity.
I don't know.
But at the same time, the people that are doing that to us are extremely effective at dividing us.
Yeah.
And keeping us fighting. What the hell are we arguing over?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day... Once you get past the BS and the propaganda and you sit down, immigration, how many people think it needs to be fixed? Most of us think that there's a problem.
Yeah, without using emotion, how many people are for government waste? Is there anybody out there that's for government waste? And don't get emotional and say, well, you mean that you're wasting programs on poor people or
you want to starve children.
How many people are for government waste? Is there anybody out there for government waste? We all know what happens. It happens all the time. So who's for that? Okay, if everybody's against that, then maybe we should work on that.
Yeah, maybe we should change the law. And we have the tools to do that through our representative officials. And if our representative officials won't do that, get rid of them.
And see, our representative officials know that. That's why they have to keep us divided. Because if we ever came together and said, hey, we're not for these big corporations buying off politicians. We're not for Goldman Sachs deciding who's going to become another state in our union. Mm-hmm. We're not for this stuff. If the two sides ever came together, they would find out they agree on 95% of the stuff. And our elected representatives would be going, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
They have to keep us divided. They have to keep us arguing. You know, and... At the same time, though, we can't lose sight of the fact that there is an enemy out there, that there are people that actively hate and despise everything that America stands for and want to rip it out and destroy it and tear it down to the foundations.
Yep. America will never be taken over by another country from outside because it is the strongest nation in the world and it always has been since its founding or shortly thereafter its founding. But it will be taken down from the inside if it's ever taken down. That's the only way it can be done.
And are there things that America has gotten wrong? Absolutely. Are there things that we have screwed up? But you show me a nation that's screwed up better than us.
Well, you show me a nation that's admitted they've screwed up and admitted to their errors and changed them.
And tried to fix it.
No. You still have Muslim countries out there with slavery. You know, nobody wants to talk about that.
Well, nobody... Yeah, and that's one of the things that's coming out is... you know, the slave trade is bigger than it has ever been in the history of mankind. And that's when one nation would go and take over another nation and enslave the entire nation.
Right.
It's bigger than it was then.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. It's endemic. And what's being done.
And these children coming across the borders are a big part of it, because there's a big sex slave going on there too, and a lot of them are children. And
yeah, these kids are being exported, you know, exploited as sex slaves, as drug mules, as trigger men for gangs. So when we take those people away from those people at the border, we're racist and bigots?
Yeah, I got something today. It was human trafficking arrests since 2010, and it showed Obama through his 8 years, and I mean, he never got over 2,000. A couple times he didn't even break 1,000. The first year he had 300. Oh, Trump, the first year was 3,200, and now he's at 6,000 so far. And this is human trafficking. So,
and how disgusting is that? That there's that many people out there to be arrested, and they haven't even scratched the surface yet.
And exactly. And these kids coming across the border, guys, they are not necessarily coming here looking for a better life. They are being trafficked across.
They've
that
been
border.
Sold by their parents,
exactly,
to drug traffickers and sex traders. And all, and people need to understand what's really going on.
And it's funny, you see some of Trump's biggest critics, what's his knucklehead, that Raging Bull, Robert De Niro. You look at his background, and he had some allegations of sexual misconduct with young girls.
Weird.
Yeah, I wonder why he is so vocal right now. I wonder why he's one of the biggest critics out there. That's weird.
Yeah. And, you know, these prisons that we're locking these kids into, why don't you go to where they came from and look at whatever rat-infested disease hole that they came from and tell me where you would rather have them?
Yeah.
Are their conditions optimal? No. Is it an improvement to their situation? You're damn right it is.
Right.
And is it a temporary situation until we can find a solution? Yeah. And thank God that we are Americans and we do take these kids in and we're feeding them and we're educating them and we're giving them a warm, safe place. And the thing that I think that insults me the most is all these people who are like, oh, they're being harmed and all of these things. Those people down there, those ICE agents, most of them would kill or die to protect those kids. And when you accuse people or say the things of racism and bigoted, you deny everything that those people do to protect those kids. And it's wrong, and it's disgusting. And the cries of racism, a large portion of our border force is Latino.
Yeah, well, racism actually means, hey, look over here. Don't look at what's going on. Look over here.
Yeah, racism. They should change the definition to, I no longer have a valid argument.
Exactly. So,
you know, and when you scream racism all the time and every time, it does discredit to the people that actually experience it.
Kind of starts losing its meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so when somebody does actually experience racism and they cry it, everybody just rolls their eyes.
Yeah.
It's like the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah, not this again.
You're doing a disservice. Badly.
All right. Well, we made it through 2 hours. Thank you, Robert. I knew you'd keep us afloat. It's been a pleasure. Mark and Sissy will be back here next week. So until then, have a wonderful 4th of July.
Enjoy it.
God bless America.
Yep.